Jesus came to set us free, that we would not go back to a place of bondage. Man, you see this girl in the middle and she's just screaming. You know, the enemy had it right when he said, those are her choices. Those are her sins. That's what she's done. She's a sinner. She deserves that. But Jesus breaks through that circle. And he takes the sin off of us. And God put the sin on him so that you and I don't have to carry that. Folks, we've got to understand the very truth of God's word, that we are set free. That we are free. And you recognize that you are a soldier for Christ. And that you understand what it is to be a warrior for Him. And you understand what it is. I cannot fight. I cannot. The Bible calls us to run. The Bible calls us to fight. The Bible says that we are warriors, or we are soldiers in Him. And we are not to be entangled in the things of the everyday life. Folks, if we are so in bondage and we are so weighed down, we cannot run. We cannot fight. We get so entangled in sin. If we would just truly get our eyes open and our hearts open to know that Jesus took the weight. Isaiah 53 says He bore our iniquities. That word bore, it means He shouldered. Folks, He took it off our shoulders, just as so here. And the term bore means He shouldered. He put it upon His shoulders. Our sin and our shame and our guilt. God, I'm asking, please move in this place by Your word. Father, by Your Holy Spirit, You would teach us this morning, that You would show us truth. We have been lied to and lied to and lied to and lied to. God, we have been put down. We have been put under. There has been sin that is on our shoulders, and we feel like we have to carry this. And there is shame, and there is guilt, and there is depression, and there is hopelessness. Father, that's the work of the enemy. Christ has come to set us free. So, Father, right here today, I'm asking that our eyes are open to truth. Father, please open our eyes. God, open our ears to hear what You would have us hear today. God, our hearts would be a sponge. We would come hungry after You this morning. Hungry for Your word. Hungry for truth, God. Hungry for hope this morning, Father. That God, if we leave here with something, we leave here with hope. We know that Christ has set us free, and there is amazing hope in that. Because of Your incredible, amazing grace, we have been set free. We have been delivered. We have been saved by Your grace. Incredible, God. Incredible. We thank You for it. Father, speak to us this morning. Folks, I ask that You would ask God. I'm open. I'm here. God, speak to my heart this morning. Speak to me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Powerful stuff. Folks, we're in this Freed series. We're going through the different warriors and the different soldiers, and just that we are warriors for our King. That we are soldiers for Him. And we understand what it is to be a warrior, what it is to understand the very fight, the very battle that we are in. Folks, this battle that you saw up here, folks, this is why Believer's Chapel is in the condition that we are in. Because we look at this and say, that's the real fight. That's the real deal. People are in this place of hurt and brokenness and depression. People are in this place of extreme pain. And we as the church have to rise up. We as the church have to come to a place to recognize the very battle that we are in. This fight for life that we are in, folks. That we cannot be a bunch of thumb-sucking saints, a bunch of wimps that come to church and think that that's okay. That we would gear up and be war ready for the very spiritual battle that is taking place in this region, amongst our families, amongst our communities, amongst our neighborhoods, with the people we work with, that are dying without hope, that don't know Christ, that have so much weight of sin on them. And gang, we are going to war at this thing, and that's why God has called this church to do what it's doing. That's why we're in a place of serving Him and advancing only one kingdom, that is His kingdom. We're not worried about stubbed toes. We're not worried about broken nails, folks. We're worried about the very people who are lost and damaged and hurt and broken, that we would just beg God for their hearts, that we recognize that the enemy is very real and he is just having a field day with people until the church shows up, folks. Until the church shows up with life, with truth, with being salt and being light, and understand that we are warriors and we're in a very serious fight and we're in a very serious battle for truth and for life and for hope. And that we would be ones who God, by His Christ leaving us behind to be the very salt and the very light, the very spokespersons for truth and for Him. And that you and I would recognize this very battle that we are in. And folks, we cannot be a warrior and fight unless you recognize that you are free. If you as a believer are so weighed down by guilt and shame and by sin, you cannot freely fight. Folks, we got to get this. Life, folks, life is in the ballast here. Every one of us in this room of any age know people who hurt, who are broken, who are hopeless. It might be in your own home. It might be one of your dear friends. It might be someone you work with. It might be your neighbor. All of us know somebody. Many people who are so weighed down by sin and so broken by sin that we get this picture that the enemy is just having his way with these people. Until truth showed up. Until Jesus came. And He leaves it up to us to get the message out, folks. That Jesus broke the chains of sin. Jesus broke the chains of guilt. Jesus broke the chains of shame. And it's our responsibility to let as many people know the truth as we possibly can. Folks, your life in Christ is not a game. When we preach a warrior series like this, we're expecting battle, folks. Please don't think we're preaching a series like this and expect no attacks. Please don't think that we're preaching a series that you would become war ready, that you are serious about your faith and you are taking a place saying, God, my faith, take me out in the deepest part of the ocean that the waves are coming and it is getting rough. But God, my eyes are on you and God, I am a warrior for you and God, all for you. I am all in, God. This is all for you, no matter where the surface level things, no matter what season of life I'm in, no matter what circumstance takes place. God, I'm war ready. I am ready for this thing. Folks, you've got to be consistent when you are prepared to go to war. So don't think that we preach a serious, powerful, powerful series like this. Changing attitudes, changing lives. People, it's been amazing the fruit from this series. And the attacks have matched it, folks. But we're ready for this. You cannot go to war when you are weighed down. Come on, turn to two places, please. Galatians 5. Romans 6. Galatians 5. Romans 6. Turn to Romans 6. Put a marker, please. Turn to Romans 6. Put a marker, and then we'll start right at Galatians 5. Folks, that was powerful. Folks, don't leave here this morning. Don't leave here this morning carrying your guilt, carrying your sin and carrying your shame. You let that sink in. That's where your sin, your shame, and your guilt is. Jesus left it at the cross. Folks, we got to get this picture. Come on, look at this. Galatians 5 says this. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. It was for freedom that Christ, that word freedom, it means liberty. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, now look at this. Point number one of this message, there's two areas that we are free from. We're free from the law. Do you realize that Old Testament law, there were 613 laws that they had to follow in order to be perfect, which was totally, completely impossible? 613 Old Testament laws. Go ahead and read through Leviticus and try to figure them out. Highlight them. Do what you want to do. Good luck with that. Trust me, 613 laws that they had to follow. Could you imagine trying to live by a system of law? You had to be circumcised. You had to do this. And it was just crazy system. And Jesus came. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 that you are saved by grace. By grace you have been saved through faith. Look at this. That is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It is not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast. Gang, there's no way you can brag on how good you are, or brag that you've done it right, or brag that you've gone to church, or brag that you've been under some traditional system, or brag that you have done the XYZs of church. Therefore, I'm in. Folks, that's law. The religious leaders who did the traditional church are the ones who put Christ to the cross. The religious leaders who said, you've got to do it by law. This guy Jesus shows up and he's breaking all the laws. He's breaking all the, look what he's doing. He's eating on the Sabbath. Look what he's doing. He's doing this. He's healing on the Sabbath. Look what he's doing. And they were trying to come after him because Jesus was breaking the laws. Jesus was making a very serious point to the church. It's not about the religious rules, do's and don'ts. It's not about the law. But it's about grace now. Jesus showed up and changed the whole system, folks. And they didn't like it. We have people today that are so stuck on a system of law and a system of tradition and a system of church. And they think they're okay because they live by a law. And they don't fall under grace. And they're in a very dangerous place. Look at this. This is what Galatians 5 is dealing with. If you want to study, go through all of Galatians and you will see Galatians is about law versus grace. For it was for freedom. This is the liberty of grace, folks. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, now look at it. When you see a therefore, highlight it, circle it, underline it. It's therefore a reason, right? Why is it therefore? Look at the freedom Christ set us free. Therefore, because Christ has set us free. Because we are no longer under law, but we are under grace. Because we recognize, man, our eyes are open to the truth that I can't earn my way to heaven. I can't work my way to heaven. I can't be good enough to go to heaven. I can't go to church enough to go to heaven. I can't do all of this and all of that to go to heaven. But it's Christ. Christ has set me free from that weight. Could you imagine the weight of you trying to be good enough to earn and stand before a holy, perfect, righteous God? No way. But you got to work and 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 you got to work to try to make yourself right before God. That's too much. That's too much. And look at the Bible says it was for freedom. We're free from that. Therefore, keep standing firm. Be consistent, folks. Recognize the truth. What system you came out of. Maybe you came out of a systematic system. Maybe you come out of a tradition. Maybe you come out of a works-oriented religion. And he says, listen, you got to keep standing firm. You got to recognize that you are free from the law, that you have been set free. Christ came for freedom, that it's no longer under law, but it was up from this amazing grace. Again, grace means unmerited, perfect favor and kindness that is unlimited. That's what grace means. And you recognize that God has such kindness that is unlimited, unmerited. We don't even deserve it, but he has grace for us. And he sent Christ to die on the cross. That is grace. And that's our faith that it's Jesus and not a system. But they were struggling with this. The Galatian church was struggling with it because they had false teachers come in and say, well, you got to be circumcised. You got to be circumcised. If you're not circumcised, we go into the circumcision. And Paul just was like, stop it. And he's telling the church, keep standing firm. Don't move from your position. Be consistent. This word standing firm, it means persevere. Get past the false teachers. Get past the religious system. Get past the traditions. Get past the law. Persevere in this. That's what he's saying. Stand firm in this. And look at this. Do not be subject or do not be entangled again in the yoke of slavery or bondage. When you have been set free, why do you want to go back into that bondage? After you have been set free, why do you want to go back into slavery? Why would you ever want to go back into that work? Why would you ever want to go back to be controlled by something? Why would you ever want to go back into that position of being owned by law when you have been set free by grace? Folks, there is something in the church that you are persevering and you are being consistent, folks. Listen, I'm not a bumper sticker fan. There are some of the most stupid bumper stickers on people who go to church. I want to get my bumper on the front of my car and try to take that bumper sticker off their car somehow without getting a police report. You know, I mean, it's just like, you ever see the stupid bumper? Try God. Try, what is it, yogurt? Try God if you don't like it? What do you, I mean, that is the dumbest thing. Try God. Like, you think you're making a statement. Try God. No, it's surrender, submit. Give Him everything you got. Come to Him on a basis that you've got nothing. Come to Him on a basis that you're a sinner. Come to Him on a basis that you're a loss. And if you just try God, that's failure, folks. I see that, I'm like, you're an idiot. What's wrong with you? Try God. Like, that works. Well, I'll go to God on my terms, and if I don't like it, if I don't get what I want from God, well, at least I tried. No. Jesus is my co-pilot. You're an idiot. He's the pilot. When you give your life to Him, He's in charge. He's driving. Man, you're lucky to be in the very back seat when Christ drives. What is wrong? He's my co-pilot. That's why you're crashing all the time, man. How about you give your life steering wheel to Him and let Him drive you around, you fool? What is wrong with you? I mean, I see these bump on folks, if you have a bumper sticker on your car. I love you. Read it, and okay, now you can go and say, that's stupid, honey, we got to take that off, or he's going to ram me in the parking lot. Or I have my secret agents out there taking all your bumper stickers off right now as we preach. I'm kidding. But folks, what is it to stand firm? It's not to try God, it's to know God, and to be consistent, and to persevere, and to know that you've been set free. Come on, Romans 6 says this. Number two to this message, you've been set free from sin. Sin is heavy. Sin is weight. Sin is baggage. Sin weighs us down. Look at this, Romans 6, verse 17 and 18. But thanks be to God. Folks, why is it that we are so passionate in our worship? Why is it that we go through the Psalms and we see what it is to bless God, to worship God, to raise our hands to God, to clap to God, to thank God? And the word worship, it means to bow down. There are times you'll see people on their face before God because they are in a bowing position, which means worship. That's what worship technically means, is to bow down or prostrate yourself before the Lord. That's worship, folks. What is it to praise? This word thank. Thank, to praise in the Hebrew, it means to thank. It means to bless. It means to honor. This is what this means. And look what it says. Thanks be to God. Why is it that you come to church? And it's so easy. It's so easy to cry out to Him in worship. But it's so easy with our instruments and with our voices to shout out to God in great thanks to Him. Listen, worship is not about you, folks. It will never be about an experience you will ever have in church, in this church. Not about your experience. It's about God. It's about honoring and glorifying and being thankful and putting all the attention. There's one word of praise that means spotlight. The spotlight is only on Him. We come to Him desperate. We come to Him in great need in worship to know that, God, You are everything. Look what He says. Thanks be to God. For what? That though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching which you were committed. Now look at this, verse 18. And having been freed from sin. Having been, you were once a slave to sin. It owned you. It was bondage. It was weight. It entangled you. But you've been freed. You have been set free from sin. You became a slave to righteousness. And he goes to Romans and he says, listen, does that give me a license to sin? I have been set free from the law and I have been set free. Man, I can do what I want. Because the amazing grace that I know God will forgive me, that gives me a green light. That's not what that means. He says you're set free from sin, but you're a slave to righteousness. This word righteousness means right according to what God's standard is. So when we look at God's standard, and we look at His word, and that we are to walk in obedience to His word, we're not free to do whatever we want to do. We're free from sin, the nature of sin. We're free from the weight of sin. We're free from the burden of sin. We're free from the bondage of sin. But we still are under a system that when we come to Christ, we become slaves. Listen, one of the greatest writers, one of the greatest letter writers, Paul, who gave us almost half of the books of the New Testament, starts many of his books with a place of the bond slave, the bond servant. He recognized what it was to be a slave or a servant of Christ, the King. That we submit ourselves to Him, and that the Word says, listen, we are to be slaves of what is right according to what God says. That's huge, folks. There's so many that just preach grace, 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 and you can do what you want, and it's all right because you're covered under grace. Paul says, certainly not. That's foolish. Because you're slave to what God says is right. Folks, this is huge. Come on. I want you to read that. I want to flip over to Romans 8, please. Therefore, there is Romans 8, 1. There is no condemnation. There is no sentence. There is no judgment. That's what condemnation means, folks. The verdict has already been rendered with Christ on the cross. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Please get that. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free. Has set you free. Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death. When you begin to understand, we talked about it last week, that relationship that we have with God through Christ. You recognize this, and then verse 15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption, because we can call Him Abba Father. Folks, do you realize this relationship we have with God? That we have the right as His children to call Him Abba Father, that He has not called us to a spirit of slavery, which causes us to walk in fear. But we have received the spirit of adoption. As sons, we cry out, Abba, Father. Folks, when you begin to understand all the work that took place to you, Isaiah 53 says this. This is powerful. This is one of the clearest pictures in Scripture. Powerful, powerful picture of Scripture, of this right here. Sin, shame, guilt, Jesus bore, Jesus took, Jesus carried. Listen, gang, we've got to understand that's where our sin, shame, and guilt, that you and I have been set free from sin, condemnation, shame, and guilt. Surely our griefs, now get this, our griefs He Himself shouldered. Our sorrows or our pains He carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God. Look at this, who was smitten? What an amazing word, smitten. You know what that means? Beat to pieces or beat to brokenness. Jesus was smitten, beat to brokenness, violently struck. And it was God's plan. Folks, how do you get over the point that God loved you and me so much, even in our sin, that He smit? He purposely took His Son to this place called earth that He created, amongst the people whom He created, to be smit, to be violently beat to pieces. And that was God's plan for me and you. Incredible. Smitten of God and afflicted, but He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastising of our well-being fell upon Him, and by His scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord, that's Yahweh, that's God, the Lord God has caused the iniquity, the sin, the shame, the guilt of us all to fall on Him. Folks, we don't walk in defeat, we walk in victory. We don't walk in defeat because of our sin and our shame and our guilt. Listen, as a Christian, as a believer, one who's called on Christ, that you've confessed Him as Lord and Savior, there are times that the weight of this world can just weigh us down. And there's times, even based on our decisions, based on the sin that we allow into our lives, that there is guilt and there is shame. And for whatever reason, we don't remove the weight. For whatever reason, we allow it to weigh us down so we can't fight like we're called to fight. Folks, point number three of this message is we need to lose the weight. We've been set free from law. We've been set free from sin. And then you and I got to lose the weight. I'm working on it. Why are you looking at me like that? I'm trying here. Eating less organic stuff. You know, less ice cream, I guess. But that's not the weight that I'm talking about. Folks, if we're really warriors and we really have an advanced plan and we're really going after the lost and the hurting and the broken, if we're really going to be salt and light, if we're going to do what God has called us to do, folks, if we are going to do what God expects us to do and left us behind to do, why isn't it the right when you come to that confession that you just don't go right up to heaven knowing that we're aliens here? This is not our home. This is not the place we reside. Our residence is now with Him. We now belong to Him. It's no longer I who live. It's Christ who lives in me. Why wouldn't He just beam me up, Scotty, right up to heaven the moment you make that decision? He has left you and I here as the church to be His voice, to be salt, to be light. Now look at this. I want to show you a couple of verses here. This is Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance. Okay, that encumbrance means weight. Every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. Where did our weight go? Where did our sin go? Folks, where it went to the cross with Christ. He went to the cross with joy. To what? To take the weight. Despising the shame, He is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Folks, this is an amazing picture that you and I, at times, as the church, as believers, get entangled in such a position that weight weighs us down. Folks, listen. You know what I'm speaking of in regards to sin in our lives. It stops the progress. It weighs us down. That guilt and that shame that the enemy just comes and he whispers. He can't love you in this condition. You're useless. You probably shouldn't even go to church. You probably shouldn't even walk through the door. Everyone is going to look at you and they're going to know immediately that you're in sin. That you are filthy. And he just hits you and he hits you and he hits you and he hits you. And he hits you. And it gets heavier, and it gets heavier, and it gets heavier. And you somehow, along the line, forgot that your sin and your shame and your guilt shouldn't even be on your shoulders, because there was one named Jesus Christ who shouldered that for you and took that for you. Like, we're called to run, folks. You can't run the race. Look at Corinthians. This is Paul writing. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. Then they do it to receive a perishable wreath, but an imperishable. Now look at this. Therefore, I run in such a way, not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. He had specific purpose to what he did. Folks, I have not seen an Olympic event yet where these Olympians in the final, man, they got weights around their wrists, they got weights around their ankles, they got weights around, they can't run weighted down. You and I as believers are called to run a race. And you can't run when you got weight. Now look at this. I want you to show you the next verse. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, take hold of eternal life, to which you were called, and that you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. Folks, I've never seen a boxing match yet where they've got weights all over them, and they got weights on their wrists when they're trying to have speed in their punches. And he's saying, listen, fight, box in such a way. Be precise in what we're doing. Listen, we are called to run a race. We're called to fight a fight, folks. Can't do that when you got weight of sin. Can't do that when you're in bondage. Can't do that when you're a slave to sin. Can't do that when we are trying to carry that which has already been carried. I love this. This is kind of our theme verse for our warrior series, 2 Timothy 2:4. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life. Folks, we cannot allow this thing called life or seasons of life or sin, unconfessed sin, weigh us down so that we can't be salt and we can't be light and we can't run and we can't fight and we can't live in such a way as a warrior for our King, because the need is great. And the need is great in our area, folks. That we would be individuals, one-on-one basis, of warriors who have been set free, warriors who recognize there is no guilt on me, and there is no shame on me, and I have been set free. And you look when the enemy comes and you know that there is unconfessed sin in your life, please keep short accounts, folks. We talked about this last week in the repentant warrior. Keep short accounts. Get before God immediately. Ask God to forgive your sin, recognizing this has been paid for. This has been shouldered by another. I don't have to carry this weight. I don't have to carry this shame. I don't have to carry this guilt. I don't have to carry this sin. Jesus on the cross. Folks, we only boast on Christ on the cross. This is what we brag about over and over and over. But we know people who carry weight. We know people who carry the shame. We know people who are just in this position of feeling hopeless, folks. And it's you and I who've got to give truth. It's you and I who's got to be salt and light. It's you and I who have to be freed warriors so that we know that we're free from law. We know that we're free from sin. And we know that we have got to lose the weight ourselves, that you and I can run in such a way and fight in such a way and be soldiers and warriors for our King in such a way that we have been freed, folks. Hallelujah. Come on, give them praise for that. That is right. Amen. Come on. Oh, my God. Goodness, let's pray. Father, oh God, you're amazing. Time just keeps going. Oh. Father, thank you. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thanks be to God. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that our sin has been forgiven. Jesus, thank you that you bore our iniquity. Jesus, you shouldered the weight. Jesus, you took the hit for us. Jesus, you're amazing. Jesus, you deserve to be worshipped and praised and honored and adored. You deserve that we would be your soldiers and we would be your warriors, that you are a great King. We understand and know that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. Jesus, thank you for what you've done for us. Jesus, in those times in our seasons of life when we feel the weight coming, when we feel that condemnation, when we God, let us remember today that we have been set free by Jesus. Jesus, you took all of that, all of the sin, all of the shame, all of the guilt, and you put it on your shoulders and you took it to the cross once as a sacrifice to pay that payment for us. Jesus, you're amazing. Jesus, you are awesome, and you deserve to be followed, and you deserve to be obeyed, and you deserve to be honored as we are your workmen. We are your warriors. We are your soldiers to do what you've called us to do, that we would be set free, that we would walk in joy, we would walk in peace, that we would walk in hope. Folks, please, please, if you're here this morning and you're in a place where there's so much weight on your shoulders, where there is so much weight, it doesn't even necessarily have to be walking in sin. It's just this weight, this heaviness. Man, I'm asking you this morning, just as Hebrews said, lay it aside, put it down, begin to come thankful. Jesus, you took that for me. Jesus, that you bore that for me. Jesus, you shouldered that for me. Whether it be a hurt for another, God, that we would be salt and light for those who are broken and those who are hurting. Father, help us. Help us in this morning. Folks, if that's you, please, let me just pray for you. Father, I just pray for those who are broken and those who are hurting in this place, even as your children, as your church. God, that they would very clearly see this morning that Jesus, you took that for us. Father, I'm asking that they would walk in peace and they would walk in life, life abundantly. God, they would be set free, the weight would be gone, that they would be able to run again. They'd be able to fight again, weightless. God, they'd be able to serve you again with a joy, with a peace. God, that they would be salt and light to those who are broken and hurting. Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, not in relationship with you, have never come to the point to know that Jesus has set us free from sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Jesus made the declaration that I'm it. I'm the only way. That's it. You cannot boast. You cannot brag. You cannot do anything by yourself. It is only through Christ. It is the gift of God. It is only by grace. And it's us believing, walking in a place of trust that Jesus died for me. That we would acknowledge our sin. That we would repent from our sin and turn and know Jesus. Jesus. I confess and call on the name of Jesus for my salvation. It's only you. Father, forgive me, that you would cry out to God and say, Father, forgive me for my sin. I see it. Jesus is the only way. Jesus, take the sin. Jesus, take the shame. Jesus, take the guilt. You shouldered this for me that I don't have to. Let my eyes be open to the truth this morning. The enemy is in a place where Christ has trumped him every time when we confess and we come to him and recognize payment has already been paid. The jail cell is wide open that we have been set free, that we would get it. We get it this morning. Father, open our eyes to this. Father, that you by your Spirit would continue to speak into our lives. Truth, that we are freed to serve you. Freed to go to war, free to do battle, freely, God, fight in your name for your kingdom, to advance truth with everything we've got. In Jesus' name, amen.